demonstration is about Unica Campaign. Unica offers a full solution across all areas, across customer awareness, decisioning, execution, and marketing operations. Under customer awareness, think of the ability to analyze your customer data, analyze your campaign data, look for opportunities for groups of people that you may want to contact, create predictive models that you can leverage for scoring and for segmentation. In this area, we have solutions for customer analytics, web analytics, predictive analytics, and event detection. In centralized decisioning, it's the ability to leverage this data, leverage this analysis, and then using that data to determine who do I want to contact and what's the best message that I should be sending to these people. And so under centralized decisioning, Unica has solutions that allow you to segment your data, create and assign the offers, keep track of who you're contacting when, with what offer, set up real-time targeting so when someone comes to a website or goes to the call center, they're getting the right message at the right time, and contact optimization. If I'm sending a lot of different offers across, a lot of programs, a lot of campaigns, what's the best offer that I should be sending a particular customer so I don't over-contact them or I don't send, for example, conflicting offers? And then once I've set up my centralized decisioning, how am I actually delivering that message? Is it a direct mail or call center piece? Is it that real-time someone's calling into the call center or coming to my website? Is it distributed marketing where I'm letting, for example, advisors in the field select the people they want to contact and then deliver that message? Or is it lead management where I'm qualifying and potentially further nurturing leads before I send them out to the sales force? And then underlying all of that, we have Unica Marketing Operations for really doing the strategic planning side of this, for evaluating your campaigns that are executing, for looking at budgeting, tracking, resource management, all of this, really the underpinning of it that allows you to manage all of your communications across all of these channels. So we have a full suite of solutions across all of these areas to make sure you are delivering the best marketing message at the right time to your customers. What we're focusing on today for today's demonstration is Unica Campaign, which falls under centralized decisioning. Unica Campaign is what I use to select the household or customers or accounts or individuals that I want to send an offer to. It allows me to define and assign those offers to create the files for output, whether it's direct mail, call center, email, and then actually execute for fulfillment. So Campaign is, as you can see by my slide, it is best-in-class functionality. It scales both to different types of users, from users who have very limited experience with interacting with the data, to very savvy, sophisticated users who want to potentially still write something in raw SQL. It also scales to the volume of data that you may be using, to very small, more B2B-focused data sets, to really large transactional data sets. Think of like an eBay or a PayPal. It's flexible. You can create these campaigns. You can define these queries in multiple ways. And it's also reusable. So anything you build or create can be stored in a library, rolled out across your users. So when you're coming in and you're building a campaign, typically you're starting with objects that have already been validated, tested, productionalized. So it can be very quick for you to actually build and execute a campaign. So scales, very flexible, a lot of reuse built into the product. So what you're seeing when you look at this is a campaign flowchart. So let's actually go into Campaign itself now and actually build out a live flowchart. I was about to say live campaign. We're not going to execute a live campaign, but we will go and build a flowchart. So I'm going now into Unica Campaign. I've already logged in, and what you're seeing when I first log in is my dashboard. So just to help you navigate for a second, you can set up multiple dashboards, and a dashboard is a container that's going to hold all of the reports or objects that you want to see on a regular basis. The dashboard is made up of iframes, so it doesn't have to be a Unica report in the dashboard. It can be any other element supported by that iframe. So in my dashboard, I'm seeing a calendar of campaigns color-coded by type. I'm seeing my alerts and tasks, so things that maybe I should be taking care of immediately today. And I can have multiple dashboards set up. So if there are other types of reports I want to see, I may want to actually put that in a separate dashboard. So now I'm seeing things like once this loads, reach and response by channel, seeing my conversion funnels, when I'm pushing people to the web, what are they doing once they get there, as an example. And then there's all of this information is here for quick and easy access. So that's the dashboard in the center of my screen. My menu in Unica Campaign is across the top. So across the top, I can navigate back to my homepage. I can look at recently viewed items. I can go back into the dashboard, or I can go into all of these different functional areas. So think of that silo screen I just showed you where we have offerings within analytics, within decisioning, on the fulfillment side. And so all of those solutions are here across the top of my menu item. So I can go into marketing operations, which is that underlying piece that allows me to do my planning, my budgeting, my management of resources across all of these solutions. Within campaign, I have optimized the best offer, across the best campaign, best program at the right time. I have my interactive channels, which is my real-time messaging. I have email. And I also have campaign. And then going across the top, I have my distributed marketing, which my example is giving advisors in the field the ability to create and execute campaigns. And then I have analytics, which lets me look at operational analytics, campaign analytics, web analytics, any of the reports across these areas, these functional areas are here within the analytics menu item. So today, as I mentioned, we're focusing on campaign. So I'm coming back to the campaign menu item at the top, and this is the area we'll be drilling into and spending most of our time. Now, this particular campaign that I built today, for this example, is a customer retention campaign, and I actually started this campaign from a project in marketing operations. So what I'll do is I'll search through my projects for the campaign that I built, which is my customer retention campaign. And there it is. There's the project that I set up. So this is marketing operations, and in marketing operations, I can see all the planning components of the campaign where I'm assigning people, I'm assigning tasks, I'm setting up the budget. What I'm going to do is drill right into the implementation arm of it, which is Unica Campaign. So I'm in Unica Campaign right now, and what you're looking at is really the container object for this campaign. Think of it almost like an Excel spreadsheet with the tabs across the top, not the bottom, where in this spreadsheet, I have high-level information about the offers included. I just have one offer in this campaign, my free shipping offer. I have an analysis tab where I can see who I'm contacting, did they respond or not, by what channel, so my reports on the campaign that I'm executing. And then I have what we call flowcharts. So this is the actual campaign logic. And a campaign can have one or many flowcharts. So if you have a really complex, multi-wave campaign, you might want to split that campaign logic across more than one flowchart. That allows me to schedule these components at different times, or even just for validation and QA, it gives me a smaller piece to go in and validate and review. Or you may have all of your campaign logic in one large flowchart. So I have two flowcharts in this campaign. I have an initial wave flowchart where I get my primary audience, I split them up by language, and I send them a direct mail offer. And then I have a second flowchart where I go and I look for responders to that offer. Did they or did they not use their free shipping offer? And then for my non-responders, if they didn't use it, I'm sending them a second offer. And for my responders, I may want to send them a thank you offer as well. So my responder flowchart is something I probably want to schedule to run on a daily or weekly basis as I get new data elements in for maybe the next 3 months to continuously look for track responders, and then send out that second wave. This is a smaller flowchart, but you could potentially have something with 3, 4, 5, 6 waves, multiple touch points, where you're continually evaluating someone's behavior or action and continually nurturing them towards that conversion activity. So if I go back to that first flowchart, the initial wave flowchart, let's walk through how I set this one up. So to add a flowchart to a campaign, let me back this up for a second. To add a flowchart to a campaign, when I first come to the campaign, I can come over here and say, I'd like to add a brand new flowchart. And when I click on add a flowchart, it comes up with this container, so I'll call this my tree We'll just solve example right now so I can show you a few things about a flowchart. And then I save and edit flowchart, and it opens up with an empty flowchart. There's nothing in it. It's a blank slate. And then to build out the logic that you just saw in my previous flowchart, I use these process boxes on the left-hand side. So on the left-hand side, I've got blue boxes, red boxes, and green boxes. The blue boxes are for selecting who I want to contact. So that's what lets me write the queries against the data sources, whether they're files or database tables. The red boxes are for what I want to do with them. So once I have the people I've identified, do I want to send a direct mail piece out, an email piece out, or I want to just create a snapshot file where I want to create a static list of people for reuse later on. So what do I want to do with these people? The green boxes are my optimization processes. So do I want to do some response tracking, for example, after a campaign is executed? So these are the boxes I use for interacting with the data and building out my flowcharts. To use these, I just click on the box that I want, and then I click to add it to my flowchart. The box you can see is gray right now. This is a very visual application, and gray means there's an error, and when I mouse over it, it shows me the error. It says, well, again, there's no input selected. So I need to go and configure this process box. I need to say what table I want to query, what file I want to query, and what type of query I want to write against it. So if I double click and open this up, the first thing I do is I go to input. And my input could be something I'm pulling in from NetInsight, it could be something from my customer reports, or it could be a table I'm querying or a segment. Now if the table isn't showing up, if there's no table here, I have a couple of choices. The first thing I can do is load what we call a table catalog. So a table catalog is a predefined metadata layer of all of the data sources I want to access. And that could be reused across campaigns. So let me go ahead and load a table catalog. So what I'll do is go over to my admin menu up here and go to table and click load and choose a catalog that I want to use. Once I choose that catalog, it loads all of these tables in. So now I can access and query against any of these tables. So now when I go back to my select box and I go to tables, I see a list of tables that I can now access and use. Now if I still don't see the table there that I want to use, I can map to that table or file on the fly. So Unica Campaign is really flexible in that it can map to any data source that you have. It doesn't require a proprietary data mart. So if I have another data source, maybe someone has just given me a zip list or a phone list, or maybe a new table has been added to the database, I just come here and click New Table. And then it's very wizard-driven. It's going to drive me through and say, well, Jan, if it's a base table, is it a file you're mapping to or a database table? If it's a file, I say I'm mapping to a file and say next. And then I just identify the file type. Is it fixed width? Is it delimited? I click browse, and I choose where this file resides. I click open. When I click next, I see the fields in the file, and I just keep following the wizard to map it in. If it's a database table, I choose database and the database I want to access. What's great about that is within one flowchart, you could be pulling data from more than one database at a time or more than one file at a time. All that's required is that you have keys or fields within those tables or files that you can use to join across those data sources. So I choose the database that I want, and then from that database, I choose the table that I'm mapping to. I see all the fields in the table. If there are fields in here that my users or someone building a flowchart will never ever need, I can remove them. I'm not changing the underlying data source, just what someone is seeing when they leverage this table. And I can also, on this screen, I can even rename fields to make them more user-friendly. And then I would just continue mapping this table in. So this is my account table. And I would just continue to follow the wizard, say this is the key when I query this table that I'll be pulling back as my surviving key. And I follow the remaining options, and now I have this table that I can actually write a query against. To write a query against the table, I can choose everybody from that table, or I can get more specific. When I get more specific, it again gives me this prompt screen, this wizard-driven screen, where it says it needs a field name first. So I'll open up the table I'm pointing to, and I'll choose the field that I want. So maybe I want people with an account balance of a certain amount. So account balance, and that prompts me for an operator. I'll say greater than, and now I can enter the value. If I wasn't sure of the values or what the data in this table looks like, I can always double-click on Profile and Profile to see, oh, okay, well, these are the data elements in this table, and then I can double-click on an element or just key it in as you saw. If the query is a little more complex than just account balance greater than 500, I keep following the wizard, and then I can click End. And now I might want to choose by status code, so I'll double-click on status code. I'll choose equals to, and then this has been pre-profiled, so I can just choose the status code value that I want. Once the query is complete, I go to the General tab and I give it a better name. I'll call this my eligible group. I can write a note, count with a balance greater than 500 and a status of active, and I know 3 is active. I'll say OK. The box is now blue, which means it's configured correctly. The count you see in the lower right-hand corner is the full table count. So this table has 121,000 records in it. To execute this process box, I right-click and I say Run Selected Process. What it's essentially doing now is converting what I wrote into raw SQL. So it's taking this condition that I wrote and making that a where clause. So it's creating a statement that essentially says select individual IDs from the account table where account balance is greater than 500 and the status code is equal to 3. The count I see in the lower right-hand corner is the surviving count. So that's how many people met that criteria. And the check mark tells me that the process is complete. If I want to continue building up my flowchart, I might next want to get suppressions, people who should never be contacted. So again, the box is gray. I'll double-click to configure it. I'll go to Input. This time, instead of going to Tables, I'm going to go to Segments and use what we call a strategic segment. A strategic segment is a predefined list of individuals or households of people that have been already generated and stored on the server. And I'm getting this list of people, and I'm suppressing them from my flowchart. The benefit of these lists is you can run them once, and then everyone leverages the list. So something like suppressions, where every campaign would be running the same criteria, instead of running this query against my database 50 times today, I'm running it once, and then everyone else is leveraging the outcome. The other benefit is it's a validated list. So I know the suppressions are correct, so no one is accidentally in their campaigns forgetting to remove Nixies or Deceased or people who opted out. This list can be static, or in the case of suppressions where I want it refreshed, I can schedule it to refresh every time the database updates. So it's the latest and greatest list of suppressions all the time. Other examples of strategic segments might be things like your platinum, or your gold customers, your high-value customers, or might be a global holdout for the year. So you might have static lists that you're reusing across campaigns and then doing analysis on, or you may have dynamic lists like this suppression list that you schedule to refresh on a regular basis. So now in the General tab, I'll call this my minus suppressions, and I'll add a note saying list of deceased authors, deceased back credit, and say OK. The segment gets created in another flowchart like this in what we call not a campaign but a session, and then scheduled to execute. And you can always go up to campaign and sessions if you want to drill in to see what the logic of the segment itself looks like. So now I've set up the segment. When I mouse over it, you can see the note that I wrote. It hasn't yet executed. There's no checkbox, so I'll right-click, and I'll go ahead, and I'll run this process. So now I've got 10,000 eligible, and I have 543 who should be scrubbed out of or removed from that eligible universe. So to compare these two outputs and then remove the suppression, I'm going over here to my options on the left-hand side, and this time using a merge process. Now I'll connect the eligible group and the suppression group into the merge process. I want my results to slow down. So I'll mouse over the eligible, that center, until I get that trident, that fork, and I'll drag the results from eligible into the merge process, and then I'll drag my suppression results into the merge process. Now when I open up the merge process, it's assuming by default I want to keep both of those cells. It's saying, let's keep them, and if anyone's in either one, they can continue on. That's not what I want. I want to exclude my suppressions. So I'll highlight my suppressions on the left and add the suppressions to the exclusion group. So in the records to include, I have eligible. Those are the people I want to keep. And in the records to exclude, I have my suppression. So now if anyone from the eligible group is also in the suppression universe, they'll be scrubbed out. Think of it almost like a Venn diagram where I'm getting my intersection points to figure out who should or who should not survive. I'll rename this on the general tab to my universe. I'll say OK. And now I'll go ahead and run this. And when I run this, I should end up with a count of smaller than 10,800 because I'm removing anyone who is also in that suppression group. And you can see my count has dropped now to 10,794. The merge process, if I come back in here for a second, can also be used to combine segments. So had I wanted to keep both of these cells, then I would put them both in the records to include. And when I have more than one cell in the records to include, that's when I look at these two radio buttons. These two radio buttons are only for on include. And that's where I say, well, is it an or? I want to keep people who are in either of these cells. Or is it an and? They have to exist in both. You would have to be both in the eligible and in the suppression group to survive. But in today's case, I wanted to exclude a group, so I put that cell down in the exclusion universe. All right. So now I have my eligible universe. The next thing I would like to do is split them out by language. So I'll go now and add a segment process. So I'm using a different type of group process. Again, I'll drag the results down to the segment. Gray, so I need to configure it. And when I open it up, the first thing I see I can do is I can segment by query. So I can say how many segments I want. So I actually want to split into three languages, French, Spanish, and English. So three is the perfect number, but had I wanted to also do German or Portuguese, I would just increase the number of segments that I see here to five. And then once I add that number, it builds a new segment for me. So what this is doing is this is going to take our eligible universe and further split them into multiple segments. So in my case, it will be three for French, Spanish, and English. To configure the segment, I can double click here and then write a query, just like I did for account balances greater than 500. So I no longer want the account table, I want the individual table. And I'll go to the demographic info under individual, and I'll choose primary language is equal to, and I'll profile, and I'll choose English, and I'll name this English. Now, if I'm very comfortable writing these queries, I don't have to use this point and click method. I can go into this more freeform text builder method, where I know that it's field operator value. So I know I need to go to individual, I need to choose primary language, I can type equal to, and then again profile, and double click on English. I can also, when I'm in this freeform method, go into Query Helper, and I can use any macros from the built-in library. So in that library of macros, there's things like current date, group by, in string, string length. So if I need to write a little more complex statement, I can use any of these, and it will give me a description on how to use that. It's essentially a procedure. I can also add macros to this library, so there's an area called Custom Macros where I can build my own. So in this one, like the Count Contacted, I can count how many times someone has already been contacted in the previous X days. This is great flexibility because you could have some very complex expressions that you're using over and over again, and you can store them here in the library as a custom macro, so your users don't have to know how to write the complex expression. They can just use this macro from the library. And you can make it a very flexible macro with parameters that get passed into it. Like my counts contacted, where I'll pass in, you know, the number of days is 30 and the number of contacts is 3 to make it very flexible and reusable. So in today's example, we're just grabbing language is equal to English, so we're finished and done. So there's one query down, and then I would just continue to close the rest, Spanish. And we'll come in here, and again, I would choose my table and my primary language. Now these are pretty straightforward queries. I'm just using an attribute from one field. So instead of doing it by query, I could also come over here and segment by field. So for anything where it's just as simple as an attribute in a field, it's not more complex, like their Spanish and their account type is active, or their Spanish and they've transacted 3 times this month. If it's just an attribute in a field, I can also say I want to segment by field. I can choose the field from the database. It will show me all of the possible attributes in this field. Then I can just choose the values that I want to use. I want to split it into 3, English, French, and Spanish. I'll call it language, and I'll say okay, and I'm finished. So now my universe is going to be split into those three languages. The segment process that I'm using is helpful in that I can create multiple cells within a flowchart, but keep the flowchart looking very streamlined. I didn't have to do three different selects to get Spanish, English, and French. So my flowchart stays very clean. I can also, in the segment process, you know, if someone actually had checked off more than one language, I can set these to be mutually exclusive as well, so an individual will fall into only one of these cells and not all, and I can prioritize them with the up or down. So now I've got my eligible universe split by language. The next thing they want to do is pull out a random control group from each of those cells. So now I'm using a sample process, and I'll add a sample under here, connect the language down to the sample, I'll open up the sample process, and under input, I'll choose all three cells. So now my three cells from language, so all three of these are feeding into the sample process, and for each of these three cells, I'm going to further split that cell into two. So I'll have a control cell of 10%, and the target cell of all remaining. So each of the three cells gets further split into two, giving me 6 cells in total. The split into control and target is done by random sample. We use a seed to randomly grab people into those 10%. Now the sample process is also used for deciling or quartiling, and it can also be used if you've got a score and you want to cut into a file. So it's not just used for pulling out control and target groups. I could, for example, say I want to create quartiles. I order by a field and then identify how many cells I want, which would be 4. And when this runs, the first record will go into the first cell, the second to the second cell, third into the third cell, and so on. If I was cutting into a file, I would say I'm only building 1 cell, but it would be my top 50. So I would order by a field using sequential portions. So I have, for example, a score field out there. And I would say I want the top 50% of the file based on the score descending. So you can do a couple of different things, really a few different things in the sample process. Today's example, I wanted the chest and control, so I have the 2 cells. This could also have been a 50-50 split for A/B testing as well. So we'll go back to my control and my target of all remaining, and I'll call this cell split. So now when you look at this process box itself, I've got the 6 cells. I've got the split control English, split target English, split control Spanish, split target Spanish, and the 2 for French as well. I'll say okay, and I'll go ahead and I'll run this process. Oh, here we go. Sorry. And run it. I'm doing a test run on this process. I don't want to create the output yet. So now it's getting a little trickier to read the numbers in here. I can make the flowchart a little bigger by zooming, but it still gets hard to tell which of these numbers is the control English, which is the target English. They're all split by semicolons, but because there are 6 cells in here, it's hard for me to read. So what I can do to look at the count page of these cells is I can go up to my cell reports at the top. So if I come up here to the top and click on reports, it will show me a list of all of the cells I've created so far in my flowchart. So now I can see that the control English has 666 records in it, and that the target Spanish has 1,841. This report can be exported as well, so I need to share it with someone. Any of these cell reports can be exported. We have other reports in here for looking at the results of this flowchart. Another good one is the cell waterfall report, where I can choose the top level cell. I started with my eligible, and from eligible, I got to my universe where I removed the suppressions, giving me 10,794. I then segmented my universe into language, and there are the 3 counts by language. And then I split into control and target, and there are the counts for each of those, and then my total. And this can also be exported and shared. So this is a really good way to see the top-bottom flow of my flowchart and the resulting counts. I can also look at cells themselves. So I could go into, for example, the cell contents report, and I could look at that target English cell. Maybe I want to make sure I have all the fields I need for my direct mail file. So I can come up here to options, I can go into my individual table and contact info, and I can choose the fields that I'll be using for that direct mail file, add them, and I can see how they're going to look before I do that final outcome. So it's pulling back for all my individuals the fields that they have in the database, and now I can see the values. I can see, make sure I have valid address fields, I don't have any nulls, I don't have any bad data in here, so it gives me a chance to look at things before I do that final output file. And I can also do in here a profile report, so show me counts by state, or a cross-average report, show me scattered by account balance. Once I'm happy with my results in here, and as I think this looks good, I'm ready to create the output file. Now you're probably saying, well, Jane, you didn't cover all the blue process boxes, and for today's demonstration, I won't walk through all of these. But just to cover high level what I didn't actually touch on yet, there's an audience process that lets me, for example, if I've started at the account level, switch to the individual level, which can be a hard thing to do. Or it lets me, for example, if I'm at the individual level, deduce from only contacting one person per household. There's also an extract process, which will let me actually pull a subset of data that I'm potentially querying against multiple times within this flowchart. So a good example of that is if I'm hitting a lot of transactional data, I don't want to keep going back and querying against a table that's 60 million records. I only need where account is active, where people have transacted 5 times this month with a balance of greater than 500. So I can pull back that subset of data in an extract process and then query against that extract in the flowchart. So it's really going to improve the performance. An extract process lets me do that conditional where clause when I'm creating that subset of data to say I only want records that meet this criteria. And then I can leverage that result set within the flowchart itself. So I'm finished with the blue processes, and I'm ready now to create the output, which are the red processes. So I'll get a call. I'm going to mail this process. We're doing a direct mail file, this example. So we'll get the mail list process, and I'll connect the split down to the mail list. I'll open up the mail list to configure it, and there are a number of tabs in this mail list process. There's the fulfillment tab to identify the name of the file I'm creating in the file layer, or if I'm writing to a table, the table I'm writing to. There's a treatment tab to select the offers that I'm going to be assigning to these cells. A parameters tab in case the offer has elements of it that might change each time I use it, like the expiration date or the channel. So I can create one parent offer, like a free shipping offer. And then every time I use that offer, I just make changes to it that creates a new instance of that offer. So now this free shipping offer has an expiration date of December 31st, not September 30th. And that lets me report against the parent offer, showing everyone who got the free shipping offer in 2010, and now drill down and show me everyone who got the free shipping offer in Q3 when there's an expiration date of, you know, August 10th. There's a personalization tab where I'll say, here are the fields that are going in that output file, and a log tab to log the contact history. This is important because I really want a record of who I contacted when with what offer, so I can use this for reporting later on when I do my performance reports of how many I contacted and subsequently how many responded. I'm using it for my contact fatigue rule. I'm using it for a multi-wave campaign. Give me everyone who already contacted, and I'll send them a second offer. So if I go back to the fulfillment tab under export to, I'm going to do a file, so I'll choose file. I indicate the layout. Is it a flat file or delimited? So maybe it's a pipe delimited file. I browse for where I want to put it, so I'll put it in my output folders of my retention offer. I'm going to replace each time this executes in case I'm running this over and over again. A summary file is just a one-page file that will tell me the campaign name, the campaign code, the cell name, the cell count, the offer. So sometimes the fulfillment house wants that one-page summary file. And triggers are batch files or scripts that get created outside of Unica, but I can call that batch file here if, for example, once this runs, I want to FTP the file to the fulfillment house. I can build the trigger outside of Unica and then call the trigger from here to run as soon as that file finishes generating. Okay. On the treatment tab, I have some control groups here. So the first thing I want to do is identify that some of these groups are control groups, meaning they will not get an offer. That way when I'm doing my reporting later on, I can see would that person have exhibited the action even though they didn't get the offer. So I'll indicate here that there are some control groups in here. I have to indicate this because Unica can't assume just by my naming convention that something is a control because it could be a wrong assumption. So I'll indicate the control, and I'll also indicate the cell that that control marries up to. So my English skills, my English, my French is French, and my Spanish is Spanish. So I've got the English, the French, and the Spanish married up. So later on, when I'm doing my reporting, I know what cell you would have fallen into had you not been in control. And now I'll assign the offers to these cells. Actually, I'm going to give them all the same offer. I'll click on Assign Offers, and I'll navigate through my offer library to choose the offer that I want to give. Offers are created outside of the campaign itself. One, they can be reused across campaigns, which is one reason for creating them in a separate area. And two, sometimes it's a different person creating the offers and actually building the campaign. So offers are created in this global library that's organized by folders, and then within the campaign, I choose the offer. The offer is just a metadata item that has all of the information about the offer. So for reporting later on, I know what offer you got. And for output because fulfillment has, I may need to output a coupon code or an offer name and allows me to create that information for output as well. So they're getting a free shipping offer. If I go to the parameters tab, there are three parameters of this offer that I can change. The channel, the cost, and the expiration date. The channel this time isn't email, it's actually direct mail, so I'll change it to direct mail. And I'll set the expiration date as October 31st. Now in the personalization tab, I create the outputs for the fulfillment house. So I can output Unica-generated fields like the offer name, like the treatment code, which is a unique code indicating the campaign, the sale, the offer, and the run date. And it's automatically generated every time this flowchart executes. This can be a programmatic code, a smart code, where you said the treatment code is actually a composite of the channel, the offer name, the date, the version, any other pieces you may want to put together that smart code, but it's the unique representation of campaign, offer, sell, run date. I can also output individual level information. So this is where I can go down and say, well, I want their ID, and from contact info, I want to get some fields for output in this file. Now, you might say, well, Dan, I don't actually want first name and last name in the file, I want a full name. So you do have the ability anywhere within this flowchart to build derived fields. Derived fields are code, essentially, that is written to build a new field on the fly. So if the field doesn't exist in the database, but I have pieces that I can pull together to build it, I can build a derived field. Think of it like an Excel spreadsheet where you have column A and B, and in column C, you're summing those first two columns. It could also be a static value, like maybe it's just the fulfillment vendor's name that you're including in the file. So I'll click on derived fields, I'll give it a name, a full name. If it was a static field like the vendor name, I would just put the static field in here and then I could output that. If it's something like full name where I need to build an expression, I'll come down to formula helper, I'll go into my string functions, and I'll use string concat, where I concatenate data by choosing the data elements and letting them be comma separated. So I'll double click on string concat, and I'll go into my individual table and I'll pull back first name. And then I want a space between these. So I'm putting a space between my first name and my last name. And then I will click apply. So now I've built a new table called full, new field called full name. I can profile that field to make sure it looks okay, and it does. Say okay. And now my output file, instead of doing first name and last name, I'm going to do full name. And then the final thing I'll do here is I'll go to the log tab and make sure I'm writing the contact tissue, which I am. And this is my direct mail file. I'll say OK. And now I can go ahead and I can run that process. And you're seeing here I'm doing a test run. I have the option to do production runs or test runs. And for today's demonstration, I'm not doing an actual production run. So instead of doing all the full writes to contact history and creating the files, I'm doing test runs for efficiency's sake. So the process is run. I can mouse over and I can see a count of how many records are in the file. And if I wanted to see the file, I could navigate to the server. You may have to FTP it over your desktop, or if it's a shared drive, go to the drive and have a look at the file to make sure it's okay. If you don't have access, you can also map the file here, like I showed you mapping to a file or a data source, and view the file here within Unica Campaign as well. So my flowchart is complete. Now, the next thing I might want to do is step back and say, you know, are there any reusable items I could use in my next campaign so I don't have to build things from scratch again? And a really common reusable item is this output. The output for the fulfillment house rarely changes. It's typically the same thing over and over again. So I could right-click on this and copy to my template library, and I could call it my output direct mail. I could put a security policy on it, which tells me how many, who can read it, who can have read-only access to it so they can use it but not overwrite within the template library, who can see it, who can't see it, etc. So what's the security policy on my object and save? So then the next time I'm coming and building a flowchart, I can just right-click and paste from template library, and I can choose that process box, drag it into the spot I want it in, connect it to my previous item, and when I open it up, it has the layout already defined for me. Now, a template could be one process box like I did, or it could be multiple. So you might say, well, Jan, these top three boxes are my starting point for almost every single flowchart. So you could put that in the template library, or you might say, you know what, this entire thing is pretty much the skeleton of all of the campaigns that I build. So I could put this entire thing as a template in the library, and then each time I start a campaign, I paste it all in, and then I just make whatever edits or changes that I want. We have a large library of reusable objects. If I come up here to my menu items across the top, in my options menu, there are store drive fields, so that full name field I created, I could store for reuse. You've got custom macros, which were the store procedures of those query items where I can build new ones and store them for reuse. Store templates, which are what I just showed you, the ability to store templates and reuse them over and over again. Triggers and the table catalog. So the idea is you really want to identify things for reuse, validate them, and then productionalize them. Now that my flowchart is complete, I can save and exit. And if I wanted to, I could schedule that flowchart for execution. So I could come over here to the run item, and I could say schedule this. And I could give it a schedule name, so if I want to run it every Monday, I could call it every Monday. I want it to start now, but I could also have it run on a certain date and time, or a trigger. I could be waiting for a trigger message from either a database refresh or another application. I want it to run once, or I want it to run 10 times, or maybe I want to run it until December 31st. And then I set up the reoccurrences where I can say I want to run it every Monday, for example. If I don't see the reoccurrence pattern here, I can build a new one on the fly or use a cron expression. And I can go ahead now and run with the schedule. Oh, sorry, you said my end date is in the past, so let me just push that out. And now I'm good to go. So we set up a contact flowchart. If I go back to where we started, I started here at the beginning of this and said this is a campaign. And I only had two flowcharts in here. I had the initial wave, which is what we just built together. So this is what I had built before we started the demonstration today. And now together, you and I have built this one from scratch. Now what I might want to do is, once this is running, I may want to start looking for responders to this campaign on a regular basis. So I've built out another flowchart called Responders and Wave 2, where I go in and I look for the people I've contacted, who's responded yes or no. So who has used that free shipping offer, yes or no. And if they have, I use this green process to write them to my underlying response history table. And then for those people, I'm sending them a second wave of either thank you for using the free shipping offer, or if they haven't, I'm sending them another offer trying to encourage them to use the free shipping. And this is something I'd also want to schedule on a reoccurring basis. So I'm looking for responders as frequently as the database gets refreshed. Now, as I'm capturing and tracking responders, I'm populating our response history table, which is populating my performance reports for me. So the last thing I'll do today is go over here to the analysis tab, where we have a list of predefined reports that we can leverage. So I go to the list of reports. These are all the reports that are available to me. These reports are Cognos reports. So Unica campaign comes bundled with Cognos, and it comes out of the box with a number of reports you can start using immediately, like campaign detailed offer response breakouts. Now, if the report you see isn't here, you have the ability to go in and build a new report in Cognos Query Studio or Report Studio, and then save that as a report that's available in the list. These reports can be parameterized reports, so maybe you want to add parameters like just for this month or just for this channel. The reports can be scheduled for execution, and the reports can be included in the dashboard, like that dashboard I started with at the beginning of this demonstration. The report also has multiple delivery methods. So you can save it when it runs to look at later on, or you can email it as well. Once the report finishes executing, you'll be able to see the output from the campaign we built together today, showing me how many I contacted and how many responded. So if I scroll down, I can see for my customer retention campaign, I gave 45,500 offers roughly. I had 6,800 responders, so I had a response rate of 15%, which is good, but I would hope it would be a response rate for something like free shipping. And I can see then how many unique responders I had, and I had one response type. I had a response type of committed. You could have multiple response types. So you think of a credit card offer, they call the call center, they submit an application, and then they actually transact, they actually use their credit card. So you could have multiple response types you're tracking, not just one like I did in this example. If you want to share this report, I can come up here to the top, and I can view it in HTML, PDF, XML, or multiple versions of Excel to export it and then share it if I need to. If I wanted to edit this report in Cosmos, I can come here and open it up in Report Studio and make edits and save it as a new report or save those changes in this existing report. So you've had an ability with me today to go in and build a multi-wave, multi-channel campaign that had email and direct mail and see the subsequent analysis of this campaign that we're executing. And that analysis might be that you decide to change the campaign when I run it next Monday or add and build a new wave. So thank you for participating in our Unica campaign demonstration.